You're listening to audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, where we train students to preach the Word and reach the world. For more free resources like this one, visit www.swbts.edu/media resources.
If your religion hasn't changed you, you need to change your religion. Amen? If any man be in Christ, if any individual be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I'm so delighted to have this opportunity. I'm like the lightning bug that backed into the fan. I'm delighted to no end to be here with you this morning. It's a joy to be in chapel with you. And I appreciate Dr. Patterson inviting me to come and be a part. I'm sure some of the people he invites to come here, he invites them to come because of you and for you. They come, and they prove to be a blessing to you. And then sometimes he'll invite folks to come just so that they can be blessed and be a part of what you're so used to and accustomed to in your chapel worship services. It's a real honor for me to have this opportunity to come and be a part. I want to read some scripture for you found in 2 Timothy, if you want to turn with me in your Bibles there to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We begin reading with verse 1. And I trust you have your Bible. Coming to church without your Bible is like going to the table without your plate. You can eat off of somebody else's plate, but it's awful nice when you have your own to eat off of. Amen? If you look over at your neighbor, if he doesn't have his Bible, just say, "I'm ashamed of you." Amen? We really need to have our Bibles, don't we, when we come to the house of God. And I want to read for you as best I can from 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning there with verse 1. And after we have scripture, I want to lead us in a brief prayer, and then I want to share with you a sermon that I trust will become a message before it's done, so that when we leave this chapel today, that we can honestly say that we've had a word from God. You've not come to hear from me, I know that. You've come to hear from God. And God is anxious to speak to your heart through His Word by His Spirit. I trust you'll be receptive to that still small voice as He nudges your heart through His Word. In verse 1 here of 2 Timothy chapter 4, as you follow along there in your translation, let me read to you from mine. The Apostle Paul, writing to this young preacher by the name of Timothy, says, "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, that is, the living and the dead, the saved and the lost, at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time is going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." Verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Do thou diligence now to come shortly unto me." Let's bow our heads now and join our hearts as we pray together. Our Father God, You are indeed an awesome God, a powerful God, a holy God, a sovereign God. And Father in heaven, we acknowledge You for who You are and recognize You, dear God, as being the great Creator that You are. realizing, Lord, that we are what we are because of you, and where we are because of you as well. And Father, I'll just put it simply, I need your help. And these that are gathered around me today, they need your help. And I want to thank you for the promise that you've given us in your word, that you are indeed a present help in time of need. And so we thank you now for what you're going to do in our lives, what you're going to do in this place, what you're going to do in this service. And the scripture says in the book of Acts that after that they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Would to God, Father, that even in this place we might become so God-conscious, so mindful of your presence, so aware of your power. Even today we would, that you could demonstrate and would demonstrate your power in our midst. And Father, should there be someone in this audience that's not yet given his or her heart to Christ, would to God that even this day, at this very hour, this individual will come to know and realize his lostness, his need of Christ, and know that there is a Savior waiting with open arms to receive him and will not cast out any that come unto him. Bless, Lord, this hour, this service, and each individual present, and every home and church that's represented here today, and this great institution. And bless Dr. Patterson and this faculty, these administrators, and all of these that are responsible for all that's being done here. My, how we praise you, dear God, for what's happening here today, for what's happened here in the past, and for what's going to happen in the days ahead. We thank you, dear God, for being who you are, and we praise you for the opportunity to serve you. And help us now to be doers of the word of God and not just hearers only. For Jesus' sake, for we ask it in his blessed name. Amen and amen. I want you to look with me, if you will, to verse 5, the D part of verse 5. Here in the King James Bible, it just simply says that you need to make full proof of your ministry. In the Amplified Bible, it gives us a little amplification of that phrase. It says we need to fully perform all the duties of your ministry. It's very important that we do that, that we perform all the duties of our ministries. And you can just hear the note of urgency, the sense of urgency in Paul's appeal to this young preacher, Timothy. And can't you feel the passion and the intensity in his voice as he challenges this young man? And the first thing we notice here is the charge that he gives to him. The charge. I looked up in Webster's dictionary about a charge. I wondered what it really did mean. And it just simply says, to load a burden on is one of the definitions of a charge. To load a burden on. And a burden is a God-given sense of urgency about something that he might enable you to perform or to accomplish for him. A burden, a God-given sense of urgency. Another definition of a charge is to give a task or a duty. To give someone a task or a duty. So Paul here is giving this young man a task. He's giving him a duty. And the duty that he's giving him, you are fully to perform all the duties of your ministry. Now, why is the message so urgent? And ours is today as well. It's a very serious moment for the Apostle Paul as he speaks to Timothy about his ministry. Very serious moment, just like our moment is today. We're living in a very serious time. In a time when you and I really do need to make, fully perform, if you will, all the duties of our ministry. And so would to God that the Word of God could lay upon us this burden, this God-given sense of urgency, and that we might recognize the task that is ours, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Amen? And so I'm thinking then, why is it, as we look through this portion of Scripture here, why the urgency of the message? Number one, it is because Christ, the Lord Jesus, is coming again. It says that. Christ is coming. Not only is Christ coming, but apostasy is coming. There's going to be a time when folks are just want their ears tickled. They're not interested in the Word of God because they don't want to be doers of the Word of God. They don't want to be confronted with God. They don't want to be challenged by God. And so Jesus is coming, apostasy is coming, and then death also is coming. The Apostle Paul says, "My departure is at hand." Some of us are not going to be here much longer. I trust you will be, but you have no assurance of that. And so because Christ is coming again, and he promised he would, he said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." And he said, "If I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." And the angel said, "The same Jesus which is taken up from you is coming again." Not only did Jesus promise his coming, but the angels did as well. And the Apostle Paul, you'll notice down here that day, Paul only had 2 days on his calendar. It was today. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. And that day. And he said he's persuaded that he is able to keep that which he's committed unto him against that day, his soul. And so now we have the charge. And we're making full duty of our ministry as best we know how, are we not? Because of these three truths that are discovered here in this passage of Scripture. So how do we fully perform all the duties of our ministry? We surely want to do that. We're here preparing for that. And the first thing we need to recognize, let me just give you a quick outline in case I don't get done. The first thing you need to do in fully performing the duties of your ministry, you need to really focus on exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. Exalt the Savior. You make much of Jesus, and Jesus will make much of you. Anywhere you go, always remember that when we make much of Jesus, Jesus makes much of us. And it's very easy to do. I mean, to exalt him, to brag on him, to magnify him because of who he is. He's God. Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word, capital letter. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with him. And that Word was wrapped in flesh at Bethlehem. The incarnation of the Word of God. They called it Jesus, that flesh that wrapped that Word. That was Jesus. He had no earthly daddy. He had an earthly mama and a heavenly daddy. He was the God-man. He was 100% God and 100% man. He was the God-man. He was the Son of Man, Luke said. John said he was God. And he lived as God. I mean, he not only was he virgin born, but he lived a sinless life. Jesus did, and was subjected to all manner of temptation, just as you and I are. But had no desire to sin, and therefore didn't sin and couldn't sin because he had no desire to do that, even though he was subjected to it. Lived a sinless life. He did. and then he died a vicarious death. Jesus did. That's something that we can brag about, something we can exalt him for, his willingness to suffer and bleed and die for your sin and mine on that old rugged cross. And then after dying, was buried, and then was raised, and was seen by many infallible proofs for 40 days and just walking about. I mean, it would uncommon just be walking down the road and he'd just show up. Or be shut up in an upper room and he'd just appear. At the resurrected Lord. And then he ascended yonder, not because of what he's been, but not because of who he is and what he's done, but where he is today at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for you and me. And he's able to save to the guttermost those that come to the Father by him. He's still in the saving business, the Lord Jesus. And so there at the right hand of God the Father, he's interceding for us, you and me. He's our advocate, if you will. And we can talk about that. We can exalt the Savior. And Jesus said, to Thomas, when Thomas said, "We don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way. And not only am I the way, the doctrine of reconciliation, but I am the truth, the doctrine of illumination." If you want to know the truth, you've got the spitting image of the Father. Philip said, "You show us the Father, and that suffices." And Jesus said, "I've been so long time with you, and you've seen me, and you haven't seen the Father. I'm the spitting image of my Father. I've got every characteristic that my Father had. He's omniscient, he's omnipotent, he's omnipresent, he's immutable, he never changes, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever." And all of these qualifications. See, Jesus can be exalted because he's just like the Father. And he's the way, he's the truth, and he's also the life, the doctrine of regeneration. And then he said, there's no other name in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Peter said, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. And Paul said to Timothy that there's just one mediator between God and man, and it's the man, Christ Jesus. And so we've got a mediator. We've got one that is going to intercede in our behalf for the Father. I could camp out here quite a while, but I've got 7 points that I've got to, you know, we could talk about Jesus from now on. Amen. And so we need to exalt the Savior. And then after exalting the Savior, we need to expound the Scripture. Amen. That's why we're here. I'm thinking as I come here this morning of the 7 million people who do in the world that don't know Christ. 7 million people that are not saved. They're lost. They're doomed and damned to a devil's hell. They're blinded by the gods of this world. They're groping in darkness without hope apart from Christ. 7 million of them. Why wouldn't we be interested in evangelism? Why wouldn't we be interested in learning how to proclamate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, expanding the Word of God? I'll tell you, the scripture over in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, there's a scripture over there that in chapter 58 that really caught my attention. It says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show thy people their transgressions." Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. That's what Simon Peter did after Pentecost. You know, he lifted up his voice. I like a preacher to do that, don't you? Kind of holler and, you know, just read a verse and holler. And keep them awake, if nothing else. Amen? Lifting up the voice, but expounding the Word of God. And the Bible says, you know, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. If you want to be elected, all you got to do is just call on him. And then you'll be elected. Everybody that calls on him is elected. Amen. Amen. And how can you call on someone and who you've not heard? And how can you hear without a preacher? That's not exactly the way it is. Let me see if I can do it again. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. How can you call on someone in whom you've not believed? And how can you believe in someone in whom you've not heard? And how can you hear without a preacher? My preaching is so important. I mean, I love good singing. And this sounded like the 11 o'clock service at the Quail Springs Baptist Church, this choir this morning, didn't it? I mean, that was a blessing. But I want to tell you something. Preaching the Word of God. I heard a black preacher say one time, if preaching can't get it done, it can't get done. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, if you want a job done, You got to do it from right here. And I've noticed about preaching that every seat in this house is facing right here at this pulpit. Did you notice that? And how that this pulpit here is elevated up where all of you can see it. And it's in the very center of the room. Did you notice that? I mean, the choir loft is pointing toward the pulpit. Every pew in this house pointing toward the pulpit. And it's elevated, so you can't miss it. I mean, this is by design, divine design, I think, that the pulpit is where it is, and for a reason, because the Word of God needs to be expounded, and it's the Word of God that's going to challenge us and instruct us in the work of God, in doing the work. Well, we've got to hurry, don't we, to get on. You've got to exalt the Savior if you fully perform all the duties of your ministry. And then you need to expound the Word of God. And Paul said to Timothy, he said, son, you need to study to show yourself approved unto God. What does it say over here? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing. That means cut it straight. Get it out there just like it is. Preach it as it is to men like they are, without fear or favor or compromise. Just let the word of God, the chips fall where they will. Expound the word of God. You got to study the word of God to be able to do that. And that's why you're here. That's because you're wanting to make full proof of your ministry. You're wanting to exalt the Savior. You're wanting to expound the Scripture. And also, in order to fully perform all the duties of your ministry, you need to encourage the saint. I notice here in verse 2 it says that we're to convince, reprove, and then we're to rebuke, but then we're to exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Sometimes we need to be encouraged, don't we? A preacher will afflict the comfortable, and then he needs to comfort the afflicted. His duty is to do that. And Barnabas was able to do that. In fact, that's what his name, I think his name means, to comfort. And it says that Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation. And in the center column reference here of this old Scofield Bible, it says exhortation. So we have a responsibility, a duty, to encourage one another. And all the more as we see the day approaching. I know these Hebrew Christians over here in the book of Hebrews, they were being persecuted, and some of them were skipping church. Because they didn't want to be identified, because it was costing them some popularity, it was costing them some, maybe even some jobs and what have you. And the writer of Hebrews to these Christian Hebrews, trying to teach them how to quit being Hebrews, says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day of his coming approaching. One thing, as an evangelist, I have opportunity. I'm going to be starting a revival Sunday. I'm glad Brother Hans prayed for me and you that are going to be preaching out on Sunday over in Crocker, Missouri on Sunday, First Baptist Church. They haven't had a revival since Noah, I think, came over. And the guy called me about having one. He wanted to have a one-day one. And I said, boy, I'm good, but I don't know if I'm that good or not. I'll be honest with you. And he wanted to have it on Thursday. And I said, I don't know. I've never just had a one-day revival on Thursday. I think that'd be difficult, don't you? And so I finally talked him in to let me come Sunday morning when we'd have the biggest crowd. And then I went on and I said, and you know, we could do it Sunday night too. I could just come We could just do it through Wednesday. And then if the Lord really leads and we power falls, well, we can just extend it. Man, he went back to the board, he called them. And you know the board. And they agreed. We got a lot of folks. Some of you look kind of bored, amen. I said all that to say this, that as an evangelist, sometimes, you know, we have a lot of small churches and a lot of bivocational preachers, as Dr. Patterson's mentioned already. And sometimes it's difficult to raise a family and make a living and then be effective in ministry. It's hard sometimes to fully perform all the duties of your ministry. And as an evangelist and as a Christian believer and as a brother in Christ, my, we have great opportunity to encourage the saints. We exalt the Savior, and we expound the Scripture, and we encourage those that are discouraged. The Word of God does that, and prayer does that. And when you kneel with a discouraged pastor and read Scripture with him before you pray, put your arm around him and love him, and go out and visit with him. And sometimes I know I had a preacher come to my church one time when I was pastoring, and he said, when I was talking to him about visitation, he said, well, he said, I don't mind making a call with you if you have some soul that needs to be saved, but I don't want to do any pastoral visitation. And, I just said, well, you just rest and we'll take care of the pastoral visitations then. Because pastoral visitation is something you do in revival. Because I think we got 16,300,000+ Southern Baptists, and the FBI can't even find half of them. And then of the other 8 million that the FBI can't find, only 4 million of those ever show up. And so we've got a cowpen full of folks out there that really need to be encouraged. And some of them, I think, possibly need to know the Lord. And some of those pastoral calls, did you read that silent sermon in the Daily Bread one time? This pastor went out to visit this old fellow that had dropped out of church. And when he went in, he had the fireplace burning. Man, it was roaring, that fireplace was. And the whole room was just the waves of heat coming from that fireplace. And the old pastor, he sat there, didn't say a word to the old fellow that had quit coming to church. And there were some tongs on the altar, on the hearth. And he picked up those tongs and he picked a big old red coal out of the fire, just pulled it out of those red hot embers, those fires. And he put that red hot coal, he just pulled it out and laid it out on the hearth. And just almost immediately, it started turning white. And it just got whiter and whiter and covered itself with ashes. And then he, Trevor, I didn't know you was here, son. It's so good to see you. This young man works, he and I work together. And, but he took that coal that he took out of the fireplace and with the tongs, and then he placed it back. John, I didn't see you. Yeah. This is my baby boy. And he's a nice boy. And he put that coal back in the fire, and it started flickering again. And he just hung the tongs up on the nail there on the fireplace. Didn't say a word. Went on back to church. And Sunday, the old man was sitting right here where John is sitting, right in the front. Sometimes just takes a little bit. And sometimes sometimes I really need to be encouraged. My pastor called me this morning and said, Harold, I'm going to pray with you. That encouraged me. That really blesses me. And so to fully perform all the duties of your ministry, you not only need to exalt the Savior and expound the Scripture, but you need to encourage the saint, because we need to evangelize the sinner. And you can't do that with a discouraged saint. I mean, this bunch that sang this morning, they're ready to attack hell with a water pistol, aren't they? I mean, boy, they charged. Amen? And so when he says here, do the work of an evangelist, that's what that means. It means there's folks out there that's lost. And I wrote here somewhere, I forget now where I put it. Let me see if it, no, it's not there, just a marker. Everybody you know deserves to hear about Christ. Everybody you know deserves an opportunity to hear about Christ. And you represent that opportunity. Amen? And see, if we're talking about the world, go ye into the world. While you're going into the world, make disciples. Baptize them and then teach them what we've taught you, and that's to go into the world and make disciples. And I'm just saying, I heard Bailey Smith say this. He said, if everybody, let's just say that all of us are lost. We've never been saved. See, I was lost for 23 years. My mom and daddy didn't go to church, and I didn't go to church, and I didn't know Jesus. I was just lost as a ball in high grass. For 23 years, I didn't know the Lord. Now, let's just say all of us in this room are lost. We've never accepted Christ. If something were to happen, Jesus were to come, we'd be left behind. Now, let's say that since we're all lost, if everybody down there at that church was as concerned about souls as you and I are, what chance would we ever have of being saved? Just think about it. And I've had people just up on the hill from the church. We'd been there several months. And finally, we about run out of time, I bet you, haven't we? It's 11 o'clock. When I got there, he said, I was wondering when y'all was going to come. He could see the church down there at the foot of the hill, but nobody had ever come. One lady said to an evangelist friend of mine, when he knocked on the door and said, we're having revival over here at the church, and we're just out doing Christian visitation and wondering if you folks were Christians. And the lady said, we're trying to be. He said, now what do you mean you're trying to be? She said, well, the Jehovah's Witnesses are coming every Saturday, and they're teaching us how to become Christians. And he said, well, you know that's a false religion, don't you? And she said, I'd have to agree that there were some things that we questioned and some things we wondered about and some things they're teaching that we can't hardly agree or go along with. But she said, they're the only ones that are coming. And so he led her to the Lord through the screen door. And she said, can you come back about 4:30 this afternoon? He said, now, lady, this is not something you have to do two or three times a day. She said, no, my husband will be home from work about 4:30, and he'll want to be saved too. He went back at 4:30, and he got saved, and they came to the church. And he told them what to do. He said, I'm going to preach, and when I get through, I'm going to give an invitation. When I give an invitation, you come forward. and you'll join the church, and then after that you'll be baptized, identified with Christ, and be a part of the church, and then you'll and he went on to tell her what else she'd be doing, or they would be doing. Well, they come that night, and they did exactly what the evangelist told them to do. They came forward. And then he said to them, the evangelist did, he said, let me ask you this. He said, how long have y'all been living in that double-wide trailer just across the road in that empty lot from the church? She thought for a minute. She said, about 12 years. Said, let me ask you this. Has anybody from this church ever been over here in these 12 years? She said, no, you're the first ones I've ever seen from the church. And then he said, I did the wrong thing. I said, have you ever seen this pastor? He said, no, I never have seen him either. Of course, he said, I never did get invited back for another revival. But he made his point. 12 years. The church was right here. There was a street right here and an empty lot right here. And the double-wide trailer was right here. 12 years. And then we could talk about exposing the scoffer. We could talk about enduring suffering. It's all right here. But the thing that really made an impression, an indelible impression on Paul, and the thing that really, I was trying to think how to say this, but Paul, it was the second coming. And if you're going to fully perform all the duties of your ministry, you got to expect the second coming. I believe the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the promise of his coming. He promised he was. The angels said he was coming, and Paul and the last book in the Bible, and the last verse almost of the Revelation. It seems like the Holy Spirit said to John the Revelator, "Listen, before you put down the pen, let me ask you one more time." Just to mention one more time, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And then he says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bride and the morning star. Then in verse 20, the last verse, next to the last verse and the last prayer of the Bible, I come quickly, he said. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. So we're making full proof of the ministry, and we're here to prove that. And I'm here to prove that. I want to do all I can, and I know you want to do all you can, because together we want to fully perform all the duties of our ministry, and it takes all of us to accomplish that, to encourage one another in that. And I have a presentation to make, and I'm going to ask Dr. Patterson to come, and I'm going to ask my dear wife. I don't know that she can. Would you help her get up here with Dr. Hanson? Patricia, she's getting old. Bless her heart. It's awful to be married to a grandma.
A great grandma.
Yeah. But I'm just going to read this, what it says here. As we gathered here this morning in chapel, I was reminded that there are living in this world 7 million unsaved men and women, boys and girls. And I also know that from the beginning, that Southwestern Seminary's mission has been to prepare men and women to take the gospel to the ends of the world. I was 23 years old at Mayridge Baptist Church in Oklahoma City. Paul Wheelis, an Indian preacher who was trained here at Southwestern Seminary. And my pastor now, Dr. Hans Dillbach, he was trained here at this seminary. In other words, he was intellectually he was prepared here. Spiritually he was prepared here. And I could name Bailey Smith, and I could name a jillion other, not a jillion, but several of them. The only pastor I had that wasn't trained here, he was trained at Moody's, and he was saved under Mordecai Ham. The other preachers that I've served under, pastors, have all been trained here. And I thought, why wouldn't I want to be a part of this great institution and get in on what God's doing here? Was it Blackaby that said, find out where God's working and get in on it? Join him in it? And knowing that, Dr. Patterson and his team of administrators and faculty and even boys and youth students that are gathered here this morning are seeking every way to make full duty, to fully perform all the duties of your ministry, and to enhance this mission of taking the good news of Jesus Christ to every man and woman. And Patricia and I, and our entire family, John is here representing his brothers and sisters. He has two brothers and two sisters, and we believe that the Lord wants a home for the proclamation of the gospel on this campus here at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. And the Mathena family, we want to be a part of that. So Dr. Patterson approached me a few days ago about investing in this global missionary enterprise by helping to build such a center on the campus from which this great work would be directed. And after much prayer, Patricia and I want to give you today this pledge of $12 million as our testimony and our personal stewardship commitment to the college at Southwestern and to the Roy Fish. Won't you stand up, Ms. Fish, you and your dear son? The Roy Fish School of Evangelism and Missions for the building of a complex to hold their strategic ministries. Also, I think the Lottie Moon exhibit is going to be a part of that, and you'll rejoice to know that. Patricia and I and our entire family link our giving and our praying, our passion, and share the burden that Dr. Patterson has. And Patricia said the other day in our house, she said, we need to put our money where our mouth is. If we really mean what we say, let's do what we can to make that come to fruition. Yes, yes. And you don't know what a joy it is to have opportunity to just make a personal commitment, Dr. Patterson, from our family to you.
Thank you for listening to this audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. If you want more information on our academic programs, or if you would like to support our mission, visit www.swbts.edu.